This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Welcome into the second half of Sports Talk this Wednesday, March 26th edition. Just a day away from Sweet 16 action in the men's basketball tournament. Anxious for that to get cranked back up again. Today was a big one, though, in Baton Rouge as LSU held their pro day. We'll have a lot of sound for you this hour, hearing from tackle Will Campbell, tight end Mason Taylor, and also running back Josh Williams. The most interesting thing today, I think, definitely coming from Will Campbell, the Tigers' left tackle. A lot of strong words for those that doubted his ability to play tackle in the NFL when his, you know, arm's length was deemed at 32 3/8 inches, I think, at the combine. And supposedly there were just all kinds of issues with measurements at the combine this year. And it seems like everybody at Pro Days are trying to debunk those wrong measurements that happened in Indianapolis.
Campbell flat out said they were false. And so that's part of the reason why he had the re-measurements at the Pro Day.
Right, because he didn't do anything else today.
Yeah, I mean, they measured in at 33 inches at the pro day today, so it's basically a full half inch longer than what they measured in at the combine. But he said that multiple players were dealing with it.
Right.
They screwed up a ton of measurements, apparently, at the combine this year. So, you know, and regardless, right, Mike and I talked about this in the first hour, Steve. He called it like the analytics nerds are just overthinking it.
Right.
And they really are.
Right. He's like, look at the film, please.
Look at the 3 years of tape of the guy starting at left tackle in the SEC. I mean, that's all we need to talk about here. Like, it's so silly. And there are multiple stats that show how athletic he is, regardless of how long his arms are, where it places him in a category with Armand Membu, who's one of the top tackles this year. But then also, you know, fantastic names like Tristan Wirfs. And like, people are overthinking Will Campbell. The tape is out there. He's been a dominant left tackle for 3 years at the college football level and the SEC as well. He's going to be a top 10 pick. And whatever team picks him in the top 10, shockingly enough, is going to let him play left tackle.
Yeah, he mentions, too, we'll hear the audio shortly, about the fact that there were a bunch of teams that he's talked to already, and only one or two, I think it
two.
Was, two that asked him about playing guard, but that's because they're already set at tackle.
Exactly. And we'll hear from him in just a second here, but that's where it kind of makes sense. Like, if you have two cornerstone franchise tackles, and you're still interested in bulking up your offensive line with just the best offensive line prospect in Will Campbell, that's where you would play him at guard. But a lot of these teams in the top half of the draft that are going to be in position to draft him, I think he's a top 10 pick. But even if he falls slightly out of the top 10, right, he's still a top half of the first round pick. all those teams, a lot of them will need him to play tackle. And, you know, like I told Mike, so many of these teams that will be interested in him are going to let him, quote unquote, fail at tackle before they shift him into guard. If he fails to tackle, at that point, you know, try him at a different position. But we've seen the tape. We've seen how good he is at tackle. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's going to be fine.
Shoot, we've seen what the Saints have done with Trevor Penning. They haven't moved him inside, even though he struggled at tackle position. Last year was definitely a step forward for him, at least.
Oh, my goodness. And Trevor Penning doesn't have, you know, the prospect pedigree that someone like Will Campbell has.
No, definitely not. I was just saying about the move to inside that everybody's so quick to do. Teams, I feel like that's not the norm.
If the Saints draft Will Campbell, they're moving Taliese Fuaga back to his natural position at right tackle, and they're kicking Trevor Penning inside. That's how I see it. And you know what to see, because I think if he's there at pick 9, the Saints would have to think about it, at least, right?
Absolutely.
You bolster your offensive line with one of, in my opinion, the safest prospects in the class.
I agree with you.
So, yeah, Will Campbell, if he's there, why not take a swing at him? I know that some people will say other positions are of need and stuff like that because Tali was so good at left tackle in his rookie campaign, but he's also, people will forget, he's a natural right tackle. If you tell him to move back over to the right side of the offensive line, I think it will be fine. And then you have your two kind of cornerstone tackles with Will Campbell and Taliese Fuaga. I think that's at least interesting. And in my first mock, Steve, I had them take in Armand Membu from Mizzou. So I'm intrigued in addressing the offensive line this year. If they're going to do it, they should do it early. Mike has talked about this a bunch in recent weeks, that he expects the back end of the first round to be when there's a run on offensive linemen, specifically offensive tackles. So, you know, the teams in the 20s, into the 30s, like the start of the second round, there's going to be a run on these guys. And by pick 40, I mean, the well may have dried up as far as offensive tackles go. So if you want to address that position, which, I mean, the Saints need to bolster their offensive line still. They need help on both sides of the trenches. It's not just defensive line. They need help on offensive line as well. I think Will Campbell, left tackle, shifting Trevor Penning inside to the left guard spot, which is still up in the air. Who knows who's going to play that right now. I think they have Saldivari penciled in, but they also drafted Dylan Radins. They signed Dylan Radins as a free agent to compete there as well. Eric McCoy at center, Cesar Ruiz at right tackle or right guard, and then Taliese Fuaga at right tackle. I think you feel decent about it. So we'll have to see. I mean, it's still up in there, but what the Saints will do at pick 9. But Will Campbell definitely makes an enticing option.
You mentioned Armand Membu, and that's a name that I've seen climb up the draft board,
yes,
even ahead of Will Campbell. And I feel like because of that ding at the NFL combine knocking Will Campbell's arm length, you know, added to that.
It's also the tape. It's the tape for Membu. Membu was really good. Like, really, really good.
It
he
just
came
seemed to
strong.
Me like consensus, like it seemed like that Campbell was the top tackle prospect, but I feel like Membu's come on even stronger of late.
I still think Will Campbell's the best offensive lineman in this class, but I think Membu, it's like 1A, 1B. I think they both should be top 10 picks, and by the end of it, they might both be top 10 picks. The more I think about it, Steve, the more it makes sense for, you know, maybe if the Patriots are going to address offensive line, yeah, Will Campbell or Membu at pick 4 would make sense for them. For me, the spot, which controls a lot of the top 10, in my opinion, is the Jets at pick 7, if they take Membu, because they have kind of a gaping hole at right tackle. So they could potentially take Membu. They could take Tet McMillan because they need another pass catcher. They could take Tyler Warren because they need, you know, a tight end, a stud tight end. So a lot of how the top 10 will shape up, especially for the Saints at pick 9, keep an eye on what the Jets do at pick 7. They could go a bunch of different ways.
We've been talking about a bunch about left tackle Will Campbell. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we'll get into that audio. It's our LSU Pro Day Power Hour coming up right here on WWL. We'll be back right after this, so stay tuned.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller and Charlie Long. Take until 8 p.m. this evening. Got early early days, early on this week. Monday and Tuesday were till 6:30, but we got a long show this evening and then back to shorties on Thursday and Friday as we got LSU baseball tomorrow. But we're talking LSU's pro day this hour. Wanted to get into some sound from today. First off, we're going to check in with our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You can chime in too, 504-260-1870. We got Rob in Mid-City right now wanting to say some stuff about offensive linemen, I see. What you got for us, Rob?
Absolutely. Good evening, fellas. I've just been listening. I don't call in much, but I'll call in because I've been listening about the offensive line issues. There's going to be a run at tackles at the end of the first round, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And my comment is that Andres Pete was considered feet of Cinderella at the combine when he was coming out of college. And he was a left tackle, I believe, in college. Well, he didn't make a cut at the tackle position in the NFL. They made him a left guard, and he was a beast at the left guard position. And I believe Trevor Penning sits in the category, fits in that mold of Andres Pete. Maybe they need to try him out at left guard and take Will Campbell, jump back into the first round, if that's the scenario where there's going to be a run of tackles at the end of the first round. Get that wide receiver from Arizona State and jump back in the first round and get one of them tackles. I'm going to hang up and listen to y'all. Thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate it, Rob. Yeah, we were just talking about that in the break, actually, about the possibility of what if the Saints do, you know, decide to draft Will Campbell? Where do you put him? Do you move Trevor Penning? Do you move even Taliese Fuwago, who you just got acquainted with a new role this past season?
Okay, so a couple things. The wide receiver from Arizona with Tet McMillan, he's not going to fall probably out of the top 10, maybe top 15 either. I think both him and Will Campbell are going to be in that top half of the first round picks. With Will Campbell specifically, Rob, I like him a lot. Steve and I were talking about it, as you mentioned during the break. You know, if you're drafting him in the top 10 with pick number 9, Will Campbell, I think you're playing him at left tackle. And then you move Tali back to right tackle. Despite Tali being great at left tackle last year, I understand. But you obviously trust Will Campbell at left tackle if you're taking him with a top 10 pick. You know, maybe people will say, oh, they should play him at left guard and go like the Peter Skoronski route with Tennessee, right? Where he was a tackle at Northwestern. The Tennessee Titans drafted him with a top 15 pick, right? And then they played him at left guard. I don't think that's the case with Will Campbell. I think whatever team uses that top pick on him will draft him to play left tackle. And I think at that point, when you move Tali back to right tackle, that's where you kick Penning into guard, as you were just mentioning, Rob. That's what I see. However, I don't think you'll be able to trade and get both of them. It's going to be kind of like a take your pick. And that's if both of them are there. Either one of them are there at pick 9, as far as Tet McMillan and then and Will Campbell. As far as the run on tackles late, that's what Mike has been kind of preaching recently, is that, you know, this year's depth group is defensive line. And so teams are going to wait on defensive line for day 2, second round, third round. That's where you're going to see a ton of them fly off the board, especially interior defensive linemen. But offensive tackle, I mean, you're talking about Josh Simmons, Josh Connerly, Kelvin Banks, all these guys, maybe even like Gray Zabel squeezed into the first round. All these guys are going to be taken from basically picks 15 through 40. And there's going to be the run on them. And they're going to kind of fly off the board. So by the time the Saints are picking in the second round, there's not going to be an Armon Membu or Will Campbell level talent on the offensive line. So if you want to really address that position and get a blue chip, quote unquote, piece up front on your offensive line, you're going to have to do it at pick 9. And then the question becomes, do you want Will Campbell? Do you want Membu? You know, Kelvin Banks is probably a stretch at pick 9 for the left tackle from Texas. But those are the two that I really, really like if the Saints want to address offensive line with the first round pick.
We've been talking a ton about Will Campbell. Let's hear from the 6'6", 323-pound prospect as he spoke to the media at today's LSU Pro Day.
Well, Will, your arms were measured longer today than at the combine, and that's obviously been a discussion around you this whole pre-draft process. Can you explain how they were measured longer here today?
Well, there was a lot of people at the combine who had messed up measurements. That's why I really, you know, you don't really see too much about it other than media people, because nobody really bought into it, and quite frankly, nobody really cares. But yeah, I mean, I knew my arms were 33 inches. Everybody kind of had on every height, weight, wingspan, arm length, everybody was kind of deducted at the combine, and that's why I measured in again today, even though I didn't do anything, because I knew that that's not right.
What do you make of that whole discussion around you? And I mean, do you feel like it shouldn't matter for your game? I mean, just sort of what do you make of that element of this discourse around you as a prospect?
For 2 years, nobody had any measurements on me and nobody said anything about my play. So now all of a sudden, an arm length decides if I'm a good player or not. I think it's BS. But, you know, any decision makers in the NFL, they don't really care. It's all, you know, people who don't coach, and they don't coach for a reason.
Ever since you the season ended and you declared for the draft, just what has this whole journey been like for you getting prepared for these upcoming days in preparation for April?
Yeah, I mean, it's been long, but it's exciting. I'm super, you know, thankful and blessed to be in this, you know, position and have this great program, you know, behind me. Obviously, I'm going to miss LSU, but, you know, all the things that it did for me, and I could have never asked for anything more from this place. But I'm just super excited for the next step, and I'm ready for it to happen. I'm sick of waiting.
Well, a bunch of guys have signed some big contracts from LSU recently. What do you think it is about this program that prepares you guys to not only succeed in the NFL, but succeed so much to get those massive deals?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, the players, you know, that the tape does all the talking for everybody that comes here. They recruit the best players in the country year in and year out, and they're going to show up here ready to work. And then it also helps that, you know, you have this world-class facility with everything at your fingertips that you could ever need to put yourself in the best position possible to go be your best version on Saturday nights. And, you know, that's going to translate to Sundays too. So, you know, congratulations to those guys. You know, they deserve it. Probably could have got more, honestly. I mean, they do so much. I'm just super excited for them.
Well, what did you see from Delly and Miles today with, you know, what they did? Just what kind of players are teams going to get from them?
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job today. Not even just those two. Guys like Josh Williams, you know, Mason Taylor, Greg Pent, all those guys, you know, came out and, you know, did their thing today. And I was just super excited for them. They all worked so hard, and they all deserve everything that's coming their way. And I'm just super excited for them and their families for, you know, this next journey. And, you know, they're going to be exactly where they need to be for sure.
Will, you talked about at the combine that, you know, if you had to play guard compared to tackle, you would do it just as long as you would get on the field. But how determined are you to make sure teams know that you can start and play in the NFL as a tackle?
Yeah, like I said, I'm going to play wherever the coach tells me to. But I've talked to quite a few people, and only two teams that I've talked to out of everybody see me as a guard, and that's because they already have tackles. So other than that, everybody knows what position I play, and everybody knows my mindset on that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win and, you know, get on the field as early as possible. But everybody knows that I can play tackle.
What kind of mark do you hope to have left on LSU and the program and the culture and just Louisiana football, being a Louisiana native yourself?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me was, you know, come in and leave it better than I found it, you know, in the O-line room. That's something the man Coach Davis talked about through my recruiting process, and I feel like I did a good job of that, you know, trying to show these guys that are in the room right now the right way to go about their business on and off the field, the way to, you know, take care of themselves, the way to approach academics, and really just try to set the best example that I could and build a foundation for Coach Kelly's vision and, you know, his program. And, you know, I'm just, like I said earlier, I'm just super grateful for this place. I dreamed of coming here, dreamed of wearing that purple and gold on Saturday night. And, you know, it's done so much for me and my family. And, you know, I'll never be able to put into words what this place means to me.
What have you specifically sort of been up to since you started your training? I guess that was in Dallas that you went to, right? Sort of take us over the past few months, what you've been doing to get ready for the draft.
Yes. When I went to Dallas, it was like December 15th. You know, all that is combine prep, getting ready for that type of stuff. But after the combine, I moved back here. Kind of been transitioning back to football shape, get out of the underwear Olympics mindset, and, you know, get back to playing ball. That's what I'm ready for. I'm ready to just get back to all the good stuff. So really just working out, staying in shape, you know, being around my teammates and stuff like that, just helping them get ready for this as any way I can, and that's about it. Naps.
Naps. Yes, indeed. Will Campbell. If there wasn't any, there's no question about his talent. And man, oh man, I know this guy is acing the interview process as well, Charlie.
I love listening to Will Campbell. He speaks his mind. You know what I mean?
Tells it like it is, right?
Fantastic. And Once again, like I mentioned earlier, Steve, if you're talking about the safest picks in the top 15, I'm betting on Will Campbell. I think this dude's going to be a decade-plus-long starter at the NFL level, and a good one at that. Like, there are very few players at the top of this draft that I'm, like, 100% sold on that they're going to be excellent at the NFL level. Will Campbell's one of them. I can't wait to watch him play at the NFL level, and, you know, maybe we'll see if it's in the black and gold. That'd be pretty cool.
Could be. Saints hold pick number 9, talking about the NFL draft. That is just 29 days away.
Steve, I got to put on my detective hat. You know, like the old style, like 40s, hats, right? And with like the
magnifying glass.
Yes, thank you. And figure out which two teams he's talking about that are set at tackle that want to see him as guard. I'm gonna try and research that, do a little bit of digging, and see what I can find.
Charlie's gonna do some research. We're gonna take a break. When we get back, we'll hear some more LSU Pro Day sound. Tight end Mason Taylor, running back Josh Williams, back with more right here on WWL. Continuing on our LSU Power Hour Pro Day, getting into some of what Mason Taylor had to say. The tight end ran a 4.65 40-yard dash, also had 28 bench press reps earlier this morning. Both would have been second among tight ends at the NFL Combine.
I wonder who that's behind. It's got to be Tyler Warren, huh?
I would imagine so, yeah.
The big fella from Penn State, who I'm also enamored with the 9th overall selection, if he's there. Man, I love Tyler Warren, too. I could gush about that guy. Mason Taylor.
You would think he's in top 3 of the tight ends in this year's class.
Yeah, I think he's behind Tyler Warren and then Colson Loveland. Those are the top 2 ranked tight ends in this class, Penn State and Michigan, respectively. And then I think Mason Taylor is your number 3 guy. I know some people love Harold Fannin because he put up really big numbers at Bowling Green. Mason Taylor is most intriguing because he's still super young, and there's a projection element involved in it, where at the next level, he's only going to continue to develop and improve and get better and better and better. But it is a very good tight end class. I just think, like, Arroyo from Miami is also up in that number, too. He's a top 5 tight end in the class. But it feels like Mason Taylor definitely has that number 3 spot.
Got good bloodline, too. Let's hear what Mason Taylor had to say today at LSU's Pro Day.
Well, Mason, you didn't do the on-field testing, I guess, at the Combine, but out here today you did. Why did you choose to wait, and what do you think you showed with your performance today?
First of all, I think I did pretty well. And really the main reason for that was just keep training. Do the workout at the Combine, talk to the teams, get the experience, but then also keep working at it. I was showing a lot of progress when I was still running and training, so I thought it was best for me to keep training and come to Pro Day and show out. So I believe I did that pretty well, so hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at different draft readings and stuff on you, it just seems like you're one of the more safer picks, I guess, in the draft, and why teams are so enamored with your talent. Just maybe what are some of the conversations you've had with teams about why they feel you're such a good player and could potentially help them at the next level?
Yeah, I mean, I just really try to pride myself in any meeting I talk to a team, being that all-around guy, all-around player as a tight end, you know, doing whatever's asked of him, whatever's on my plate, and kind of being a guy that's an every-down player as a tight end and doing everything in the run game, pass game. So that's really what I pride myself on, what I try to sell myself on. And then also just being myself in those meetings, you know, laughing, joking around with the guys, you know, meeting new people, and just being myself, showing my character. And, you know, things are bigger than an athlete for me, just being a better person. And, you know, being that locker room guy and that great teammate is also what I try to pride myself on and sell myself to these teams.
Your dad and your uncle both went through the draft process. What advice have they given you throughout this process?
Yeah, you know, they've told me it's a long process. You know, it's one of the longest years of your life up until rookie mini camp and the season. But really just staying in tune with my discipline and kind of working at it like I've been for the past 3 months. And then, you know, you're switching over to visits. Really just being where your feet are and, you know, being yourself. So enjoying the process, being where your feet are. Being yourself to all these teams and really just selling yourself and not anything else. So,
tight end, talking at the Pro Day for LSU and Mason Taylor, that's another one that could very well be in the Saints crosshairs. I don't know. You looking in the second, possibly third round for him?
I don't think he's going to fall out of the second, Steve.
No, huh?
I really don't. I think if you want him, you're going to have to take him at 40, which, I mean, they might. Who knows? Mason Taylor is a really intriguing prospect. As I mentioned, he's super young. He's going to be 20 years old on draft night. Same thing with Armand Membu, by the way, the right tackle that I was enamored with earlier, too. 6'5", 251 pounds, graded out really well at the combine, put out some good work today at LSU's Pro Day. He's an interesting prospect, man. I think a lot of teams are really going to like him. I know that Mike said that he could potentially at a ceiling sneak into the back end of the first round, but at worst, he's going to be a second round pick.
Yeah, so there's really no hope that he lasts till three. Maybe the Saints make a second round selection and trade back into the second kind of thing. But
yeah, maybe. They could potentially do that because they have some extra picks to move around with.
Right. We know the Saints love to maneuver up.
Yeah, no. I know a lot of folks want them to use those selections and start to rehash this roster with some young talent, though.
Yeah, I know there's some, you know, thoughts out there that maybe the Saints move down to accumulate more picks, but I don't care who the head coach is. It just doesn't seem like the MO of this front office to move down in a draft.
I will believe it when I see it.
Right, there you go. Looking at some of the other stuff from today's pro day, running back Josh Williams also took to the podium, ran a 4.45 40-yard dash, had a 42-inch vertical, also 23 reps on the bench press. Let's hear what the LSU running back had to say.
Josh, you finished your first 40 and kind of let out some emotion there. Just what was going through your mind when you found out what your time was?
Just a lot of emotions. It's been a long journey for me in this process of getting ready for this day. A lot of doubts from a lot of people. A lot of people that don't think I can run fast, thinking I'm a 4.6, possibly a 4.7. And I just had that fire in me to prove everybody wrong, anybody that thought that I was going to run slow. So that's the type of mentality I had today.
Josh, you seem to kind of embrace that underdog mentality ever since you stepped foot on campus. Just what has this last few years just been like for you leading up to this moment? And when did it really hit you that, you know, you're preparing for the NFL draft?
After the season, it definitely hit me. After traveling to Pensacola, I trained in Exos in Florida for about 6 weeks, and then I finished it off in Arizona at their Exos facility. So it was a 8-week stint of me just training two times a day, changing my diet, really focus on drinking a gallon, and focus on the intangibles of staying healthy and recovery and stuff of that nature. But as far as walking on campus with the underdog mentality, I already knew it was going to be this type of journey. By the way, I came into LSU. I understand what LSU means to the state of Louisiana and the respect that they give the players here and the pride that they have for the team. So I knew I didn't necessarily want to be given any type of leeway or any type of chance. I wanted to earn everything I got, and I feel like as time has gone on, I have.
Yeah, Josh, I mean, obviously today was the big one for you, but just in terms of conversations you've had with teams, what have they told you about yourself, or just what has been the message maybe you've wanted to convey to those teams that are thinking about, you know, maybe getting you, or just whatever that process is like?
A lot of teams have all said all positive things to me. A lot of teams wanted to see how I would perform today. I haven't talked to them since, but for me personally, the process has been great. Just taking everything with a grain of salt, just taking it day by day. It's my first and only time going through this process, so I'm just taking everything, going with the flow, essentially.
Josh, some of your former teammates have signed some big contracts in the NFL, and they've quickly succeeded. Why do you think you can as well, and what is it about this place that prepares you to do that?
LSU, I truly and truly believe that it prepares you for the NFL. Not only with the competition day in and day out of practice and the scheduling, but also each and every weekend you're playing in some of the top competition in the nation. So I think just subconsciously you get used to the type of schedule that is similar to the NFL. I'm not saying it's the same, but I'm just saying that I believe that LSU puts us in a great position to translate our game into the next level.
Josh, you had a 42-inch vertical during Pro Day. Did you know you can jump that high?
No, I did not. Honestly, the highest I got, and I didn't really even work vertical as much as you would think. I started off day one with a 36 and kind of just worked my way up, but I never hit 40 or 42. I think it was more so adrenaline and just really primed and ready for today. Exos is a great facility for me, and I think I gelled well with their work and what we did.
John, you had a great workout, obviously. The numbers speak for themselves, but to finally have this day and to have the performance that you had, what emotion are you feeling right now?
It's a dream come true. You know, you work hard for 8 weeks straight for one day, and you almost put everything on that one day, and it could be stressful, it could be nerve-wracking, but to fight past that fear to get what you want is worth it to me.
Josh, I know Garrett's a year early to this process, just he being out there with the receivers and yourself. Like, How cool is that for him, and how good is it for him to put himself out there in front of all these scouts and coaches and GMs a year early?
I think it's great for Garrett. I mean, I'm super excited for him this season. He can really throw the ball. He's really smart. He's a leader, too. He's stepping into his second year as a starting role. So I'm super excited with what we have going in. I've been watching a couple practices here in spring ball. It's been all good things from Garrett.
What are NFL teams going to get out of you when you go to their franchise? And also, how well do you think today has positioned you to become an NFL draftee?
For me, personally, NFL draft, if an NFL team picks me up to their team, they'll be getting a guy that's going to be very focused, very humble, and very determined to make that team first and foremost. Second of all, I'm the type of guy to not worry about personal accolades. I'm just here to do what's asked of me. I want to show everybody what I can do on the next level and that I'm deserve to be there. But at the end of the day, I'm very humble and very wanting to earn things.
Josh Williams, running back for LSU, appeared in 60 games for the Bayou Bengals, ran for just under 1,500 yards, 17 touchdowns. He also caught 71 passes for 600 yards and another score there. I know right now projections have him kind of as a day three pick.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what's going to happen, Steve. The running back class this year is loaded. Like, it is top to bottom. Just like I said, there's going to be a run on defensive linemen on day two, there's going to be a run on running backs as well. But, I mean, he's probably, like, with his performance at the Pro Day, I'm so happy for him. I know that Jeff came on with us earlier and really highlighted him as turning everybody's heads at LSU's Pro Day today. So, fingers crossed, because Josh Williams is a great kid. You know, he's been at LSU for a while now. He's going to be an older prospect by the time he gets out. A little bit different from Mason Taylor, who we're just saying is going to be 20 years old on draft night. Josh is a little bit older as a running back, but we're hoping that he makes an NFL roster. He gets picked on draft night. And hoping for the best for him, for sure.
I was going to say another one from Pro Day today that could be a fit on the Saints roster, but I think that goes for just about any player in this draft this year.
Yeah, the Saints have some holes to fill, man.
Right.
So running back is definitely one of them. And I think if you're drafting running back, you should probably use one of those third-round picks on it. Because even once you get into the third round, there's still going to be some talented running backs available for you. You know, whether that be the Harvey kid from UCF or the kid Giddens from Kansas State. There's a few of them that are going to fall. And so maybe you're not going to get, you know, the top prospects like Hampton from UNC or Judkins or Travion Henderson from Ohio State. Obviously, Genty going in the first round. But I think you'll still be able to get a stud running back on day two with one of those third-round picks you have. And if you wait, maybe early in the fourth round.
You mentioned Genty. Well, guess what? Luke Johnson of NOLA.com reports today that the Saints were in attendance for Boise State's workout, so wonder if they were looking hard at Ashton Genty.
Yeah, you can imagine so. And I remember when we were listening to Kellen Moore's audio from the combine, he said that if Genty was on the board, they're going to have to take him out the room. Another former Boise State Bronco.
Taking a break. We'll be back with more Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. We are back here on Sports Talk. You can chime in on the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line if you'd like, 504-260-1870. We just got through our Pro Day Power Hour going through some of the sound from LSU this morning. Next hour, we'll be getting into some baseball talk, college baseball with LSU. Also, opening day in Major League Baseball tomorrow. So we're going to welcome in Odyssey MLB insider Bob Nightingale to the radio huddle, 725, breaking down the start of the season. And I know, Charlie, you are one that is looking forward to the action on the diamond as well.
I'm hoping my Astros can repeat as AL West champions. But, Steve, I'm a little bit nervous. I mean, maybe the Rangers will throw their hat into the ring. You know, the Mariners are going to have a great pitching rotation, but they can't hit the ball, so we got that going for us.
Well, at least you're not getting decimated early on like my Yankees.
Yeah, it's a new-look Astros team, but, I mean, they still got a lot going for them, so I'm excited for it for sure.
Going to hit the top of the hour news, folks, and then we'll be right back with more sports talk, so keep it locked right here. WWL 870 AM, 105.3 FM, and the Odyssey app. Be right back.